Good morning, everyone. It is wonderful to hear Christmas hymns and Christmas songs and Christmas sounds, and especially coming from young hands playing, whether it's a piano or different instruments. Thank you for sharing your children with us and their talents with us. It's wonderful to hear that this morning. We'll start with a word of prayer, and we'll look to the Word of God for a few minutes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful morning time. We are grateful to you that on this Lord's Day we can come together and worship you in truth and in spirit. Father, we thank you again for this time of fellowship that we have together with each other. We thank you for your word. We thank you for that your word is infallible. And we thank you that you have given it to us so that we can use it for our daily lives. And we pray that you might speak to us this morning, especially this morning, you might speak to us about your Son. Pray that you might speak through me, and may it not be my word in any way, shape, or form, may it be your word and your word alone. Speak through me this morning, and may the word of God resound in each of our hearts for the glory of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, let's start quickly with the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1. We'll start with chapter 1. We'll read a few verses in the book of Luke, and then we'll switch over to the 1 John as well. But let's start first with Luke chapter 1, and we will start reading from verse 26. Luke, the book of Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 35. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when they saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee, Therefore, also that the holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Turn with me another to the second chapter of Luke, Luke chapter 2, and we'll be reading from verse 1 to 11. Luke chapter 2, we'll be reading from verses 1 to 11. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I'll also read 1 John chapter 5, verse 9 to 12. 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 to 12. "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he testifieth of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life." I'll read verse 12 again. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life." I'll share with you a quick story that I've heard. Many accounts say that this is a real story that happened, but there's nothing to corroborate the actual validity of it. So there was a wealthy man and his son who truly loved art. They loved all the rare collections of art, and he collected them in his house. They had everything from Picasso to Van Gogh to Rembrandt. All of these beautiful, beautiful pieces of art he collected, or he bought and he sold, and he shared that joy of art with his son. And his son joined him in the business where he would sell and buy art from different places. The father and the son truly cherished their fellowship around their passion of art. They loved art a lot, and they collected it and spent a lot of time talking about the different pieces of valuable art that they had. The father had millions of dollars worth of art in his house, or in his estate. Lo and behold, one day the son was drafted into the military, and he was drafted and called out to battle. He went out to battle, and the son was a very courageous young man, but he died in battle. He died in battle rescuing some of his fellow men. And as norm, the father was notified of his son's death. This truly devastated the father. This literally devastated him, because the father loved the son so much. He lost his best friend, he lost his son. And the father sat in the house just truly, truly grieving day in and day out. A few months later, one day there was a knock on the door, and a young man, a young soldier, stood at the door. And the old man, the father, came and opened the door, and he said, "How can I help you, son?" And the young man said, "Sir, you don't know me, but I am the man that your son saved that night when he lost his life. He was carrying me over to the medic when the bullet hit his heart and he died." And the soldier told the father of so many brave things that the son did during the war before he died. The young soldier had a large package in his hand, a large package that he had packaged up in his hand that he was holding. And the young soldier handed it off to the father and said, I think your son would want you to have this." And the father opened the package, and the package was a framed picture, a portrait that this young soldier had painted of his son. This young soldier obviously was not a professional artist, but he said, "This is the best I could do, but I wanted to capture the portrait of your son because he meant so much to me, and I want today to make sure that you have that portrait." And the father started to cry. The father was weeping, not because this was the great piece of art or anything, but the father loved his son, and it reminded him of his son. And the painting reminded him of how much he loved his son and how much he missed him. So the father thanked the young soldier and said, "I will pay you for this portrait." And the soldier said, "No, this is a free gift. This is nothing you have to pay because your son gave so much for me. This is just my gift to you, sir. And the father quickly cherished this as one of his most valuable paintings. He put it up on the mantle. He put it up right above the fireplace. He put it up as his most valuable painting. He took down the Rembrandt. He took down the Van Gogh. He said, "This is going to be my most valuable painting." Not because it was such a beautiful painting or picture, but it was the portrait of his son. A few months later, the father died of old age as well. The father passed on. And at the passing of the father, there was Sotheby's that came and started a huge auction at his house. A huge auction at his estate for all the valuable paintings that the father had. All of those valuable paintings were going to be auctioned off to the highest bidder. All of them were going to be given to those art galleries or whoever, rich and wealthy folks who would love to have those pieces of collection, those valuable pieces of collection. The auctioneer took the platform that day and he stood in front of these millionaires who were sitting in front of him, and they were all ready to buy this beautiful, valuable pieces of painting. But the first picture, the first portrait that he brought up was a portrait of the son. Not the valuable Van Gogh, not the valuable Rembrandt, but the first portrait that he said needs to be sold was a portrait of the son. The father loved his son so much, he wanted, the auctioneer said, this has to be the first picture that has to be auctioned off. And the auctioneer said, "Can I start with $1,000? And there was pin drop silence in the room. No one wanted that painting. Everyone could see that was just an amateur painting. No one wanted the painting of his son. The auctioneer said, "The son, this is the painting of the son of the father who's selling all of this. This is the painting of the son. Do you want this painting for $1,000? The room is quiet. No one wants it. And people are rustling and bustling around and murmuring, "That's an amateur painting. Nobody wants that painting. We want the real stuff. We want the stuff that is valuable. We want the stuff that is worth millions. We want to auction for that one." But the auctioneer said, "No, this has got to be the first painting that gets sold." He comes down to $100. No one still wants it. The auctioneer keeps saying, "This has got to be the first painting that gets sold." Finally, you hear a faint voice in the background. You hear the faint voice of the gardener. The gardener who used to serve the father and the son. That gardener raised his hand with tears in his eyes. He said, "I'll take that painting. I'll take the painting of the son. I loved him dearly, just like the father. I'll take that painting, but I got nothing. I don't have $100. I don't have $1,000. I have $10. I'll give you $10. And the auctioneer said, "Can I have $20? Anyone bid $20? Still silence. No one wanted to pay $20 even for that painting. The gardener made his way up to the platform, took the painting with tears in his eyes because of his love for the son and because of his love for that father. And then the auctioneer put his gavel down. He said, "That's it. The auction is done. No more paintings will be sold today. All the paintings have already been sold." And the people said, "Well, what are you talking about? You haven't sold the best stuff. You haven't sold the Rembrandt. You haven't sold the Picasso or the Van Gogh. We need that. We came from all across the world. We traveled all over the place. And Sotheby's is running this auction. We need to be auctioning. We need to be paying for that set of paintings." And the auctioneer said, "Well, I was told when I took on this responsibility that there is a stipulation for this auction. And the stipulation for this auction is I have to keep it a secret till the first painting gets sold. And I can tell you that secret now. In the Father's will, it said, he who buys the painting of the Son gets all the other paintings for free. He who buys the son's painting gets all the other paintings for free. And not only the paintings, or the whole estate. He who buys the painting of the sun gets everything. So that simple gardener, because of his love for the Father and love for the Son, he bought the painting. Now he sits with everything. We read in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9 to 12, we said, "This is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this is the life in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life." You know, the story is extremely dramatic and moving, but deeper within it is the meaning. Deeper within it is the meaning, what it means to have the real Son, the one and only Son of God, the one and only Son of God. The question I have for you this morning is, do you have that Son? Do you have the one and only Son of God? Do you have the one and only Son of God in your life? Your life and my life, all the lives of mankind, all of them rest on this one question. One and only question. Do you have the Son? No other questions, no other theories, no other great scientists, nothing you and I can make on this earth, nothing you and I can do on this earth, none of that matters. Just simply one resounding question that is in your heart and your mind and my heart and my mind. What do you have in your life? Do you have the Son? This morning I want to call your attention to the one and only Son. That Son of God is Jesus Christ. The Bible says the Son of God came. The Son of God came and he was born to a Virgin Mary. That is what Christmas is about. That is what the season of this Christmas is about. Christmas is a festival or a celebration about the fact that the Son of God came to this earth. That's what Christmas is about. It is about us rejoicing and remembering that Son, the Son that came, the Son of God that came to die for sinners. The Son of God that came to die so that I can be forgiven. So that I can be made whole. So that you and I, because of the Son of God, because of the fact that the Son of God died on a cross for my sin, God's Son took your punishment, took my punishment of sin, and for all the sin of mankind. He took our punishment and all the sins you and I have ever done, or you and I will ever do. That perfect Son, the Son that was born to the Virgin Mary, paid the price for all the sins of mankind from all eternity. This is that precious gift. That precious gift the Son of God offers to you and I. He offers his body and he offers his blood for my sake and your sake. Have you accepted this gift this morning? Have you accepted the one and only Son that matters? Have you accepted the one and only Son of God into your life? He who hath the Son hath life. It's not gray, it's not unclear. It is very, very, very specific. He who hath the Son hath life. But he who hath not the Son hath nothing. But he who hath the Son has everything. Think about yourself this Christmas time. You know, we see lights all around us. We see lots of unfortunate poor pine trees get cut down and put in people's houses. You see all around us people running around going crazy. I unfortunately went to the mall yesterday and people are driving themselves crazy. Every single parking spot is taken. People are spending, spending, spending. And people are most probably buying stuff on credit card that they can't afford at this point. Is that what Christmas is about for you? Is that what Christmas is about for each and every one of us? What do you think that Christmas really means? Why is it that Christmas is so important? All of this seems very odd for us if in the Christmas season you see wreaths putting up in front of people and pine trees in people's houses and lights all around people's houses. It seems really weird. But if you understand what the reason for the season is, and if you understand why you should be happy this Christmas season, it is because of the Son of God. It is because the Son of God was born. God was born. Luke 2:11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." God was born to be your Savior and my Savior. You know, I don't venture to say that Jesus was born on December 25th. I'm not trying to say that is the exact date that Jesus was born, but the date doesn't matter. The fact that God's Son was born, that's what matters. God's Son took the form of a man 2,000 years ago, was born of the Virgin Mary, was made in the likeness of man, and he was born as a baby. And heaven declared when he was born of Mary that he will be called the Son of God. God was born into this world, and we are celebrating today with Christmas, or all this time with Christmas, the fact that God's Son was born. We should remember this fact, not just this season, but all the time. Because the Son of God himself was born into this world, the eternal, immortal Son of God, took on mortal body so that he may save mortal creatures like us. And you know, God did not send his Son for no reason. There was a very specific reason why he sent his Son. He sent his Son to save you. He sent his Son to save me. He sent his Son to save all mankind. That is the meaning and that is the reason why God sent his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath the Son hath eternal life. The Gospel of John 3:16, and it's a very familiar verse. It's probably put in every Christmas season. You'll see it. It's John 3:16 to 18. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he that hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You are only condemned if you do not believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. God sent the Son to this world so that you and I can have eternal life. So that you and I can have fellowship with him in eternity. I am not saying that you and I are not going to die. You will die and so will I. This is a certain fact. But after our physical death, what happens to you? What happens to me? There is an eternity waiting for all mankind. And the question is, are you going to spend eternity with God, your Maker, or are you going to spend eternity rejecting the Son of God that was sent for you? As I said before, there's only two choices to make. You either have the Son, or you don't. He that hath the Son hath life. Jesus says in John 14:6, again, very clearly, without a shadow of doubt, Jesus says, "I am the way." Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." There is no room for doubt. Jesus says, "I am the way." Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the only way for all mankind. Many people get stuck on the fact that there is exclusivity, that there is only one way. But I am glad, and you and I should all be glad, that there is a way. That there is a way that we, mortal creatures, can approach a holy God. There is a way that lying, filthy, cheating, murdering, fornicating, lusting, backbiting, backstabbing, sinful creatures like me and you, we can approach a holy God. And Jesus says in Luke 19:10, He says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Will you accept that Son this morning? Just like the parallel in the story, he who accepts the Son, he who accepts the Son of God, gets all the riches and the blessings of the Father. No one comes to God the Father but by the Son of God. He who accepts the Son is destined, he who does not accept the Son is destined for eternal judgment and damnation. But he who accepts the Son gets to be with him forever, without judgment, without punishment. John chapter 6, verse 40, it says, "And Jesus said, This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at that last day. That everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life." If you have the Son this morning, you have everlasting life. But if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. Here's what I want to leave you with this Christmas season. Take a moment and think about what all the celebration really means. What does all of this really mean? All of this celebration should be a reminder that the Son of God, Son of an eternal God, was born into this world. That same Son of God lived a sinless, pure, holy life and faultless life on this earth. And at the ripe age of 33 and a half, that Son of God allowed his creatures to nail himself to a wooden cross, to be beaten, to be mocked, to be bruised, to be spit upon. That Son of God was forsaken even by his Father. God the Father forsook his Son, the Lord Jesus, because of my sin and because of your sin. But great is our joy this Christmas season. Great is our joy this Christmas season because Jesus was born, he was crucified, he was killed, and he was put in a grave. But on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And today he sits at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for you, interceding for me. He promised to come back. He promised to come back to take us with him to heaven. Are you ready? Do you have the Son this morning? Have you accepted him as Savior? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. God gave his Son on the cross for you. Are you willing to accept that gift of his Son? Make sure you do that today. Jesus Christ is not asking you to do a great pilgrimage or a great fasting or live a certain lifestyle or anything. He is simply asking you that I have paid for your punishment. I have paid for your sin. I have already done the work. Will you simply accept that? Will you simply accept the Son this morning? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Receive the Son this morning, and you will inherit the eternal life from the Father. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you this morning for your word. We are thankful to you that the Son of God came to this world. The Son of God came to this world, born of a Virgin Mary, lying in a manger. And that same Son of God was crucified. Crucified on a cross, on a wooden Roman cross. For my sin, for our sin. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son. Thank you for revealing the fact that Only through your Son do we have a way to the Father. Thank you for loving us so much that you paid the punishment of our sin. Lord, we could never pay the punishment of our sin, but thank you that you sent your Son to die for us and to pay the punishment of our sin. Father, we are grateful to you this morning during this Christmas season that we can remember the Son. We can remember the Son who loved us with an everlasting love. And today we are grateful to you that those who accept the Son get all the blessings from the Father. Thank you, Lord, for this morning time. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this morning. May our hearts be overwhelmed with joy and gratitude and thanksgiving this Christmas season. And may we worship you and live for you this week for the glory of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.